Shalom, welcome to Ask JTF, the program in which we attempt to answer questions from our great JTFers. I'm Chaim Ben Pesach from the Jewish Task Force. Before we begin, this program is dedicated to Refuah Shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Mitman, Shlomo Ben Sara, Dorit Bat Sara, and Moshe Ben Miriam, and to Ilui Neshamot, elevating of the souls of Malka Bat Meir, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Daniel Ninekin, Victor Chazdai, Pesach Zeb Ben Dov, Lunita Adler, Shifra Hoffman, Ruben Hoffman, Barry Hoffman, Harab Meir Kahana, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Tzipora Fegi Bat Liba, Yosef Ben Meir, Robert Mitman, Dennis Shore, Helen Friedman, and Charles Zolad. Well, we certainly have something very important to bring to your attention on this program this week. You know that the Arabs who want to destroy Israel are building illegally at a frantic pace all over Judea and Samaria and taking over Judea and Samaria. We've mentioned this many times. And the authorities in Israel do nothing to touch the illegal Arab building. They destroy the homes of heroic Jewish pioneers on the hilltop youth who are the heroes of our generation, but they don't touch massive illegal Arab building, thousands of illegal Arab structures being built, homes and other structures being built all over Judea and Samaria to take control of the land. And what it's going to do is create the inevitability of a so-called Palestinian state, which would be national suicide for Israel, God forbid, unless something happens to stop it. But we have big news, potentially big news this week, potentially big news. The civil administration in Israel, which is very left-wing and very hostile to the Jewish settlers and to the Jewish presence in Judea and Samaria, which never did anything against illegal Arab building. All of a sudden, for the first time, as we're doing this program, on the day we're doing this program, they announced destruction orders against illegal Arab building in Ganim veKadim. Ganim and Kadim were two Jewish settlements that were among the 40 settlements that were destroyed when the traitor Ariel Sharon, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, expelled 10,000 Jews from Gush Katif in northern Samaria and destroyed 40 beautiful Jewish flourishing communities. Four of those communities were in northern Samaria. 36 of the communities were in Gush Katif, in Gaza. And two out of the four in northern Samaria were called Ganim and Kadim. And the Arabs decided to go into Ganim and Kadim and start building illegally there. They're not allowed to build there. It's what's called Section C, and even under the dreaded, evil, cursed Oslo agreements, even under those agreements, the Arabs are not allowed to build there and are not allowed to do the things that they're doing. And nobody stops them. But finally, in Ganim and Kadim, in these two places where there's massive illegal Arab building, destruction orders have been issued against their buildings there. Now, they could issue orders, the civil administration. Until it's actually destroyed, I don't believe it. We don't believe it. You know, we're from Missouri, the show-me state. We don't believe it until we see it. Because the government many times says that this has to be destroyed, you know, when it comes to the Arabs, and never does it. You know, we get court orders sometimes that certain things have to be destroyed when the Arabs build illegally, and the government never does it. But the fact that they have issued orders in writing on paper and have delivered those orders to the people that are illegally building in Ganim and Kadim, notifying them that those structures are going to be destroyed, this is a new beginning. This has never happened before, certainly not in those areas. This is a very important new beginning. And guess who is responsible for finally, having the authorities take some action against illegal buildings somewhere in Judea and Samaria? Who's responsible for finally breaking the ice here and finally getting some action against illegal Arab building? JTF. The heroic hilltop youth that we support, using drones that JTF bought for them, filmed all the illegal Arab building in real time. And the drones are very sophisticated and can be used from long distances. And also using pickup trucks and other things that they need to get around in order to be able to document what's going on and prove it. And they proved it beyond a reasonable doubt, beyond any doubt, what's going on. They were able to document and prove it and put the case together, and they brought the evidence. They brought it to government officials. They brought it to the news media. They brought it to elected officials. They're making everybody know, look what's happening here. Everybody's ignoring the law. Even under Israeli law, even under the laws of the so-called Oslo agreements, the Arabs are breaking every single rule and building illegally in Section C even, which was supposed to be reserved for Israeli civilian and military control. Jews are not allowed to live in Section C, even though under the Oslo agreements they should be allowed to live there, even under the anti-Semitic Oslo agreements. And the Israeli governments, successive Israeli governments, won't allow them to live there. But Arabs can go building illegally everywhere and nobody touches them. Jews who say, we're not going to accept this, we're going to build, we're going to go on a hilltop and we're going to start building. We know already that often the government comes in and destroys what they're building there. Destroys their homes and their property and beats them and arrests them. Things which they never do to the Arabs. Never. Even though the Jews are within their legal rights and the Arabs are not. This is the type of lawless behavior by Israeli governments. But finally, there are destruction orders against illegal Arab building. They were notified today that destruction orders have been issued against them. The civil administration finally took action and issued the orders. Now, they haven't destroyed anything yet. And again, until they destroy it, we don't believe it until we see it. But they've taken the first step, at least, in issuing orders against illegal Arab building. Something which that they never even were willing to do. And again, this is because of the drones and the pickup trucks and the equipment and the cameras and the equipment that JTF has purchased. JTF, by the way, purchased all of the equipment and all of the things that were needed to document this. All of that is from JTF. And the columns that were written in the Shabbat newsletters that publicized this and that put pressure on the civil administration are all paid for by your JTF donations. We financed all of that. Baruch Hashem, what a pleasure it is to be part of an organization that really stands up for the land of Israel. All the other organizations are full of baloney. See, I'm nice. I don't use I certainly wouldn't use dirty language. They're full of baloney, and it isn't kosher baloney. And again, we do this with our very modest budget. We've given the Hilltop Youth in the past year about $500,000 we've raised for the Hilltop Youth. And because the economy has since deteriorated this year, from early indications, it looks like we may not even be able to do that. We may not even meet that. We may have to give them even less this year. Really, really bad if that's true. What a joke. Even if let's say we give them the $500,000 that we gave them last year again. And that's a joke. Do you realize what $500,000 is for 30 settlements with 500 residents? There are 500 Hilltop Youth on those 30 settlements, and thousands of more, thousands of young Jews who want to join them. If we only had the resources, because they have to have houses, they have to have something basic to live in, and we don't have anything basic even to give them because of the shortage of funds right now. That's our problem. We could put thousands of Jews there. If we put thousands of Jews there, and if we had the real funds to really fund this, we would stop the illegal Arab building. We would have thousands of Jews on those hilltops. We would prevent the creation of a Palestinian state now and forever, Bezrat Hashem, God willing. And we provide security to the Jewish people and eliminate one of the two existential threats to Israel's very survival now. Because there are two gigantic existential threats to Israel's survival right now that really pose a threat to the very survival of the Jewish people in Israel. One of those threats is Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, which successive Israeli governments, in their cowardice, have failed to take action, have failed to destroy the Iranian nuclear bomb-making program. In the United States governments have also failed. The U.S. should also do it, because it's a danger to the U.S. as well, for the Iranian terrorist regime that shouts death to America, has millions of demonstrators shouting death to America and promising to nuclearize U.S. cities, and the United States is going to let them have a nuclear arsenal? A terrorist state like this? It's very, very dangerous. The United States should send in the Air Force and take it out. In one day they could do it. They could destroy the whole Iranian nuclear bomb-making program One day, in several hours, they could do it. Without losing a single soldier. But they don't do it. Okay? There was only one leader in America that was willing to do it. That was Ted Cruz, and we supported Ted Cruz for president. But all the stupid so-called right-wing Jews all wanted Donald Trump instead of Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz would have destroyed Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. He promised to do that. He said if they do not verifiably dismantle their entire program and let us go in and verify everywhere in Iran that they've done that, we're going to go in and do it for them. He made it clear that he intends to take out that program. He was the only presidential candidate promising that. He was also better on Israel, on the other Israeli issues as well, Ted Cruz. But anyway, it didn't happen. And so we have the Iranian existential threat, the nuclear threat from Iran, and we have the existential threat of a Palestinian state being created, which is a very, very serious threat that would really endanger Israel terribly. Israel would be in boundaries that are 6 to 9 miles wide. It would be complete insanity. Complete insanity. It's very hard to see how the Jewish state could even survive in a situation like that. Now, of course, miraculously, miracles happen, but you know, we're not supposed to be depending on miracles. We're not allowed to do things like, well, first, we're not allowed to give up Jewish land, and we're certainly, and to depend on miracles and depend for Israel's survival and commit such a terrible crime by giving away Jewish land like that to our sworn enemies that want to destroy us, be a terrible thing to do. And so we have these two threats, and on one of the two existential threats, JTF is already making a difference on the ground, a big difference. Can you imagine if we had real money? Not $500,000, but millions of dollars. The Arabs have hundreds of millions of dollars to spend from the European Union, from the UN, from billionaires like George Soros, from the Israeli left. They've got hundreds of millions. We're the only organization funneling money to the Hilltop Youth. They got $500,000 from us. What a joke. By the way, before that, they would never have been able to accomplish the things that they're accomplishing now. They're accomplishing things just because of that, because they make that $500,000 go very far. They do their own building. They repair their own cars, their own pickup trucks, their own tractors. They do everything themselves. They're skillful. They're intelligent. They're talented. And so $500,000 goes a long way for them. But if we could give them more, we could save Israel. We could save Israel from disaster. Save Israel from the self-hating Jewish leftists and the self-hating phony right Likud politicians that are willing to accept the so-called Palestinian state. And by the way, let me reiterate what we say all the time here. There is no Palestine. There are no Palestinians. That's a bluff and a lie without any historic validity. If only we could somehow find the Jews with resources to give us the money we need to make the difference. What a different world we could create for the Jewish people. Because if we don't succeed, if we don't get more funding, if we can't keep making progress against illegal Arab building, if we can't do these things, and a so-called Palestinian state arises, just as Sderot and the areas immediately around Gaza are constantly under Arab artillery and missile fire. Thousands of missiles have been fired on these communities, and they're constantly being paralyzed and constantly being attacked. All of Israel will be in that situation and much worse, including the Israeli airport. By the way, the Arab terrorists will be less than a mile from the Israeli airport, 1 kilometer, which kilometer is less than a mile from the Israeli airport, from Israel's only international airport. That's what's at stake here. Think of what we could do. Think of what we could be. Think of what you could be doing to make a difference for the land of Israel and the people of Israel. If only we could have the funding to help these Jewish heroes do what they're so good at doing. What a crime that because we don't have enough wealthy Jews to come together and give us the funds we need because of that? 7 million Israeli Jews are put in mortal danger like this? The very existence of the land of Israel, the state of Israel, are put in danger like this? Isn't that criminal? Isn't that terrible? Isn't that the worst blot on this generation? And I know that there are others who are involved with other issues and give for other causes. There's no cause more important than this. This is the premier cause. The right of the Jews to settle in their own land and the return of the Jews to the land of Israel is the premier Jewish cause and the premier world cause of our generation. That is the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. That is the fulfillment of everything HaNevi'im Batanach, the prophets in the Bible, told us has to be done. The fulfillment of that is in our taking the land and liberating the land and settling the land and removing our enemies from the land. So JTF is making a difference. This was a big step today. They issued destruction orders for the illegal Arab building for the first time, finally. Meanwhile, the day before, they also destroyed another Jewish. Again, they destroyed another Jewish hilltop. So it's just the unbelievable sick self-hating behavior here. But JTF is there to keep rebuilding and to keep fighting the good fight. If we don't do that, we are doomed to a terrible, terrible catastrophe in Israel, God forbid. Because if the Arabs take over Judea and Samaria, which they certainly will without the hilltop youth there, if we don't rebuild and the hilltop youth don't return whenever there are destructions, if that happens, the Arabs will immediately move in and take over. And if the Arabs move in and take over, and the Arabs are on the high ground, and the Arabs take over all of Judea and Samaria, or almost all of Judea and Samaria, and over 90% of it, and Israel's in the 6 to 9 mile wide borders, the people of Israel are in the worst danger if that happens. Worst danger they've ever been in since the creation of the state in 1948, since the resurrection of the Jewish state and the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel after 20 centuries, after 2,000 years. That would put them in the greatest danger we've ever seen Israel in since the creation of the state. We can't let that happen. We cannot allow that to happen. You're in this world to help your family, to help your loved ones in your community and make a living for yourself, but to help your fellow Jews, and if you're righteous Gentile, to help the Jewish people, because God blesses those who bless the Jews. You're in this world with a higher purpose, with a higher mission. Don't forget that. So that's the news out of Israel. Again, on this program, unlike all the other so-called Jewish organizations who raise huge sums of money and hurt the Jewish people with what they're doing, counterproductive, everything they do is harmful, AIPAC, harmful to Israel. They lobby for a Palestinian state. On the front, very beginning of their website, in the very beginning of their platform, they say that they favor the so-called two-state solution. Suicide for Israel. Shame on the Jews who help AIPAC. And the UJA and all of these other, and the United Jihad Appeal and all these other organizations. Self-hating, vile organizations that only do harm and that fund every left-wing and evil cause in Israel. Here you have an organization that finally makes a real difference. Who are going to be among the few Jews who help and make a difference and get the great reward in the end for having known that they played a role in saving Israel and the Jewish people? You want to be with those who are doing the right thing and standing for Israel and making a difference? Or you want to be with the great apathetic masses who don't care? And I mean, who would you rather be on Yom HaDin, on the Day of Judgment? We've got to find ways to get more support for JTF and more money for the Hilltop Youth. Look at how essential the work they are doing is. Look at how effective they are look at how important they are to all of Israel and to all of the Jewish people. And remember, what happens in Israel affects the entire world. Okay, if people want to help the Hilltop Youth, I'm going to give you now the ways to help financially. But of course, promoting JTF and promoting JTF's videos in Hebrew and in English, and trying to find us ways to reach wealthy donors and people and tell them and explain to them why it's so important to support this cause, that's also essential. We need people who know, who will come up with ways and give us solutions to this problem. Imagine what a reward you'll get if you came up with a solution to help the Hilltop Youth save the land of Israel. Could you imagine what a reward that would be? Imagine what a reward you'd get. And you shouldn't do it for the reward. It's a shame that I even have to say for the reward, for selfish reasons. You shouldn't do it for that reason. You should do it because it's the right thing to do. It's the moral thing to do. So help JTF in every way. Promote JTF in every way. Spread the word about JTF in every way. Help us reach wealthy donors and regular donors. Help us get the word out for the English movement, and if you speak Hebrew and can do it for the Hebrew movement, also. Good also for the Hebrew movement. And also, everybody should help financially. This is something that is absolutely essential. You can help financially as well. And every donation does make a difference. There are two ways you can help the Hilltop Youth financially. One is by going to our Hebrew website, hayamin.org. And on hayamin.org, on the top, there's a donate button in English, a big donate button in English. You click on the donate button, and in several minutes, you can very conveniently donate and help the Hilltop Youth. And that's, by the way, a PayPal account. Very, very easy and convenient to do. The second way is through the regular mail. Some people prefer doing it online, some people prefer doing it through the regular mail. To us, it makes no difference. If you want to do it through the regular mail, you make a check out to JTF, and you send it to our post office box. If you want the tax-exempt organization, you make the check out to VJA, Voice of Jewish Activism, VJA, if you want to make it out to a tax-exempt organization. So you make your checks and money orders out to JTF or to VJA, and you send it to JTF PO Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York 11365. That's JTF PO Box 650327, Fresh Meadows, New York 11365. Okay, let's get to our questions now from our great JTFers. That was certainly big news this week. And we start off with our friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, please discuss these phony politicians. And there's a list here of eight politicians. Is it eight or seven? Eight politicians that Joe lists over here. Okay. First one is Ron DeSantis, who, of course, is the governor of Florida. I'm going to reserve judgment on him, Joe. I don't have a good feeling about him. I think he's part of the Republican establishment. You know, I don't like establishment politicians because they're in with the people who are doing bad things in this country and in Israel and around the world. So I don't trust him, I don't know what to make out of him, but I'm going to reserve judgment because he's also doing certain things in Florida. Maybe some of the things he's doing in Florida, I don't know. He's taking certain actions against transgenders and against abortionists in Florida and doing various other things. So I'm going to reserve judgment for now on Ron DeSantis. He may run for president in 2024. If Trump doesn't, I think he will be the overwhelming favorite to win the nomination if Trump doesn't run in 2024. But let's wait and see what his positions are, and I'm not going to attack him right now, although, again, I'm suspicious because he's part of the establishment, but he's doing certain things that the establishment doesn't like against Disney and against, you know, some other things that we in JTF would agree with. So again, let's just wait and see with him. The other seven people involved here, Dr. Fauci, that filthy pig, that phony, phony lowlife hypocrite, of course, who what a egotistical, lowlife, phony, lying, two-faced fraud. And he, of course, was put in charge of the campaign on COVID, typical, And I mean, the COVID is a really very serious emergency. Millions of people have died from it. It's a very serious emergency. To put this phony fraud in charge is really a disgrace. And the other politicians, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, George H.W. Bush, Nancy Pelosi and Eric Adams, I've discussed all of them, Joe, repeatedly on other programs. And people know that I detest all of these politicians, and we should not support any of the six politicians that you mentioned here. None of them deserve any support. Thank you very much, Joe. And we go now to our good friend Hirvatsky Noachide, who writes, and I quote, "I want to thank you, Chaim. After you blessed me, Rabbi Singer reinstated me as his moderator. Thank you again. My question is, what are the Noahide prohibitions for which there is no exemption for not knowing that these are forbidden?" Unquote. Hirvatsky always asks very interesting questions. And I think what Hirvatsky is referring to, in Judaism, you have a saying in the United States, ignorance is no defense in violating the law. That's in the U.S. law, but not in Jewish law. In Jewish law, if someone genuinely did not know that something's forbidden, if they really didn't know and they had a good enough excuse, they can't be punished for it. If they didn't know that it was forbidden, if they genuinely didn't know and had no way of finding out that it's forbidden. But there are certain things that people automatically, that everyone should automatically understand and know. And so there are certain things where you can't give the excuse on the day of judgment, "Well, I didn't know any better. Yeah, I did this, but I didn't know any better." One of them is murder. Anyone, every human being should know that you're not allowed to go out and murder an innocent person. Every human being should know that you're not allowed to steal from people. Every human being should know that you're not allowed, that a man is not allowed to go out and rape a woman, God forbid. Every human being should know that you're supposed to stand up for basic justice and basic right. I mean, basic human intelligence tells us there are certain things that we should know. There's certain things that we know even without reading the Torah and without reading the Bible. There are certain laws that we do that are obvious. And so there will be no excuse for people, even for people who are not exposed to Torah, not exposed to the Tanakh, to the Bible. Even people in situations like that, and there are many people in history who were not exposed to it in different parts of the world. Even people in that situation will have no excuse if they committed certain types of sins, which every human being, through the most simple basic logic, would have to know. So, I mean, you know that when you feel pain, and so if you inflict pain on another person, on an innocent person, you're inflicting pain on them. You know what that feels like. You know how, I mean, you would instinctively, human beings do know that that's wrong. They know what's wrong. And again, and by the way, it says thou shalt not murder, not thou shalt not kill. We are allowed to administer the death penalty and death to evil people. There are certain crimes in the Torah that where death is indeed the punishment. Or at least the maximum penalty, the potential maximum penalty. But murder and hurting innocent people and robbing and for no reason doing bad things to innocent people or doing immoral things or sitting back silently while terrible things happen to other people, every human being should know that that's wrong. We automatically, instinctively feel guilt when we see certain things happening or when we do certain things that we know are wrong. So instinctively, we should know about certain types of offenses. And I think that's what Hirvatsky was referring to. Thank you, Hirvatsky. And we go now to our friend Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "Discuss the following homosexuals. Israeli Health Minister Homowitz." Well, his name, by the way, they call him Horowitz, but I agree with you. His name should be Homowitz. He's a grotesque leader of the Meretz party, by the way, who said that Israelis should be put on trial in the International Court for War Crimes. This is a minister in Israel's government saying that Israeli soldiers and Israeli citizens should be put on trial for war crimes. The Arab terrorists and the Arab Nazis who want to destroy Israel and commit genocide against the Jewish people and who have murdered millions of their own people, they, of course, should not be put on trial. But Israel, trying to survive among these lunatic beasts, they're the ones that should be put on trial for war crimes, according to this Israeli health minister, this gay Israeli health minister, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. And then we have Amir Ohana, who's the chairman of Likud Pride. Yeah, he was a big cabinet minister. He's one of Netanyahu's main people, and he's an open homosexual who lives with another man. What a disgusting individual. And really, this shows why how could anybody support the Likud? They're such a fraudulent, evil party with no morals. And all the Likud ministers and Likud who march in the gay parades in the land of Israel, in the Holy Land, marching in a parade for something that Hashem, that God has said is an abomination. Toeva, abomination. Anyway, Amir Ohana, that's Netanyahu's good buddy, his friend. And he also held senior cabinet. He held senior cabinet positions, and he's a big macher in the Likud. The Likud fully accepts this. They think it's fine that two men live together, and that he promotes homosexual marriages and so-called marriage and or the transgender insanity. And they think that's perfectly fine. That's the Likud. And next is U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete the Booty. Well, he may someday, God forbid, but he may someday be president of the United States, Pete the Booty. He is one of the leading candidates. If the senile Joe Biden doesn't run for re-election, if they finally put him where he belongs in an old age home, he really belongs under lock and key, because he's completely gone. But if that happens and he doesn't run again, Pete the Booty is one of the front runners for the Democrat nomination for president. Where are we going? What are we coming to? And then White House Press Secretary Karine Jean Perry, a.k.a. Ketanaji 2.0. Ketanaji. Oh, her name originally was Jean Perry. I don't know any of this stuff. So, but then she made it Ketanaji. I think that's what Binyamin means. I don't know, and I don't care. She's disgusting lesbian spokesman for Joe Biden, and of course he would pick a black lesbian racist and anti-Semite like this. Of course. And why do I say she? Because she supported Barack Hussein Osama, who's a black Muslim Jew hater. And next, Richard Levine, he calls himself Rachel. He's the self-hating Jew and former PA, meaning Pennsylvania health secretary, appointed by Biden to some position in his administration. In the beginning of the pandemic, he would speak on TV every day in Pennsylvania, so I would turn it off when he spoke. Well, this is a man who claims to be a woman, even though he hasn't undergone any sex change. They didn't cut his organs off. He's still a man with male organs. And yet he claims that he's really a woman, even though he has male organs. And they say, we're crazy. And next is Bruce Jenner, another very normal person. This is a guy who had the most beautiful women in America wanted him. I mean, he was handsome. He was an athlete. He was very wealthy. He had everything going for him. But he wants to transition himself into a woman. And he says he always liked women, so when he transitioned, he described himself as a lesbian, but now he's with another man who claims to be a lesbian, like, since a normal woman, even a gay man, would want a real man and not one disguised as a woman. Well, you know something, Binyamin, the whole thing gives me a headache trying to figure it out. And next is the lesbian mayor of Chicago. Yeah. And the lesbian wife of de Blasio, who was the mayor of New York. Yeah, these are two black lesbos. Oh, and they're so ugly. They are so ugly. Unbelievable. They should marry each other, these two. They are so ugly. And next, Benjamin writes, "Was Hitler gay? I heard he only married his wife the day before he died to cover up homosexuality, but rather than consummate the marriage, he was too busy having relations with dogs and eating their waste." So, so his wife killed him and committed suicide. So he didn't kill himself. Do you believe that story? Benjamin, I wasn't there, but with Hitler and his family, I could believe anything. I could believe anything with Hitler and his family. Thank you. Hitler is probably the most evil man ever to live, and with unbelievable sicknesses, these unbelievable sicknesses, it's beyond description. There's nothing too bizarre. Thank you, Benjamin. And we go now to Ram Sheva Sheva Ephes. And Ram writes to me in Hebrew, and he's writing about things that already took place. Okay, these things already took place. He wrote about them before they took place, but he already has the answers to these questions he's asking me here because we've discussed it already. And our viewers would not even know what I'm talking about. He's talking about, for instance, I had an interview today with Dr. Uri Milstein, who is one of the most prominent historians in the world, in Israel and in the world. And he interviewed me in Hebrew today for about an hour. And the interview, Bezrat Hashem, God willing, is going to go up in the next few days. A very good interview. Thanks to Ram. Ram arranged that interview with Dr. Milstein. And I see also that he's asking me about another Zoom that he wants to have another Hebrew Zoom conference with our friends in Israel also next month. And he's asking me about that, but I've already discussed that with him, so I've already answered him on this. But I'm just going to tell him briefly in Hebrew. Ram kivar kibalta. תשובות לגבי הזום שלנו בחודש הבא. אתה יודע שבעזרת השם בלי נדר כן יהיה לנו עוד זום, אני מקווה. וגם כן, אני כן התראיינתי אצל דוקטור אורי מילשטיין, ובעוד כמה ימים הוא מתכוון להעלות את הריאיון שלנו, שני סרטונים, כי הוא עושה סרטונים של חצי שעה כל סרטון, מקסימום של חצי שעה. אז נחיה ונראה את הרעיון הזה. רם, אתה עשית את זה. מגיע לך את הקרדיט, אתה עשית את זה. ואני מודה לך על כל מה שאתה עשית. Okay, and I thanked Ram for all that he's doing for us. And next is Yemach Shmoda Islam, another good friend of ours, who writes, "Dear Chaim, why do Uyghurs want to imitate black thugs?" Unquote. Because they're low-life, immoral beasts with no life of their own, no mind of their own, and they see black beasts and they want to be beasts. They'd like to be beasts just like them. They think being a low IQ, ugly, smelly monkey is preferable to being a human being. I mean, that's what they think. So, you know. So anyway, that's, you know, unfortunately there are people like that, and Hollywood and the news media and, you know, our society now glorifies the most disgusting, the most degenerate people in the world are glorified by our news media and by Hollywood. And the Uyghurs have been taken in by that. They're weak people and stupid people and evil people, and so they've been taken in by that. Thank you, Yimach Shmo to Islam. And now we go to Danny 100, who writes, and I quote, another friend of ours who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, hope all is well. Here are the two questions I have this week. One, discuss Myra Flores's upset in an 83% Hispanic district in South Texas. Does this indicate the insanity of the socialist Dems on border security, gun control, and LGBT is resulting in many Latinos leaving the Democratic Party?" In Texas, yes, I think that probably is happening. I think there are Latinos who are getting turned off with this extreme left swing of the Democrat Party. I think it is turning off Latino voters in places like South Texas. I think you saw that, and the fact that the Republicans won in this district, which was overwhelmingly Democrat and overwhelmingly Hispanic, That's not a good sign for November. I think the Republicans are going to win big in this November, and I think they're going to take control of both houses of Congress. Danny now writes, and I quote, too, the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov made a comment in response to Zelensky by claiming that Hitler, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, was partly Jewish. I find it hard to imagine something more repugnant and insulting. Even though we shouldn't support Ukraine due to its Jew-hating history, does it benefit the world when the Russians take a beating in this war as they cause so much chaos in world events? Unquote. Absolutely. Absolutely. I want both sides to take a beating as much as possible. I'm rooting for both sides. I'm not pro-Russian. I'm not pro-Russia. I'm against both countries. Absolutely. Thank you, Danny. And we now go to the great Dr. Dan, who is certainly a great JTFer. And we miss you, Dr. Dan. We haven't seen you in a while. We always miss your wisdom and your presence. The great Dr. Dan writes now, and I quote, Shalom Chaim. One, what is the most confusing day for most black Americans? Father's Day. That's why they be a Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. May God bless you to have children of your own one day, Dr. Dan. Thank you very much, Dr. Dan. I certainly appreciate that blessing. I do appreciate it, and it's always good to see you, Dr. Dan, on our forum. It's always good to see you once again. And we go now to our other friend, Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, I'm going to add to what Dr. Dan said. Juneteenth is a racist, anti-white, white guilt, alleged holiday, completely unnecessary, unquote. It's based on utter lies and fantasy and nonsense from a people that have no history, and so they try to invent a history that's fake and phony. And could you imagine the whole country has to shut down for this nonsense, for this myth? We have another holiday for them. How many more holidays are we going to, how many, it's a national holiday now. How many more holidays are we going to create to worship black people who hate America, hate whites, hate Jews, hate Asians, and are jealous of everybody who achieves anything? How many more holidays are we going to have? And, you know, and I do feel badly for the handful of blacks, the small minority of blacks that are not like this. There are exceptions to the rule. There are exceptions, but they're the exception. The rule is very, very bad. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we go now to our friend Zera Yisrael Kahanist on Hebrew. I said it in Hebrew, Zera Israel Kahanist in English. Who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, do you have any party in Israel that you have hoped for or would vote for yourself? Unquote. Or would you vote for yourself? Okay. I certainly wouldn't vote for myself because I can't run, because they wouldn't allow me to run. They'll never allow me. If I could run, I think I would win. I think I could, if I could run and tell the people of Israel, look, I'm offering you something no other party is offering, a program to pay the Arabs to leave Israel in exchange for compensation. 90% of the Arabs want to leave. We can get them out. Give us the ability to do this, and we will solve the problems of Israel. Israel will be like paradise. I guarantee you, a lot of Israelis would find that appealing. And then promising to throw the illegal aliens out of Israel, or the hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Africa out of Israel, who are destroying, who have taken over all of South Tel Aviv and are destroying cities and destroying the country. Believe me, my platform would be very popular among a large number of Israelis. Even my support for the Hilltop Youth, especially a lot of young Israelis like the Hilltop Youth and really admire and respect them for their great sacrifice and commitment. So if I were allowed to run, I think I would win. And I think I'd be a big factor in Israel if they would give me the same rights that you have in the United States. Because in the United States, you can't ban somebody from running because you don't like what they stand for. In America, you can't do that. Not yet. America maybe will get to that point with political correctness. Who knows? But not yet. But in Israel, they just ban. If they don't like what you stand for, they just ban the party. So I could never run. As long as you have those rules in Israel, I wouldn't be allowed to run. And the other parties, the parties that exist in Israel, I think all of them are bad. That's my opinion. Thank you, Zera Yisrael Kahanist, and I want to thank everybody for another program of Ask JTF. Once again, let's help the Hilltop Youth Heroes. We have a chance to change Jewish history. Let's be part of that. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF Until Next Week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.